Amen, amen. I didn't sing it that way, but I've been singing that song all week. I need him. I need you, Lord. We still have to leave early. Reverend Keyes is still not filling up the par. He said he may take even more time off. So we'll see what happens. It's strictly up to him what he wants to do. It may sound like I'm just beating the same drum over and over again. But I'm stuck on something here that I have to continue to come back to, lest we get slowful, lest we get complacent in our hearts and in our minds. We must stay and keep at the forefront of our hearts and our minds that we do not live to ourselves or for ourselves. I want to use the same old passage that I've been using over the last several months, is 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. And the thought for today, as you have seen, is I owe him all. I owe him all. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. That's our scripture passage. As many times as I've used it, it should be a memory verse by now. But the thing about it is that sometimes we can get complacent. Let me backtrack for a second here. I'll get right back to this. Phone call this morning, the Burmese church asked if you guys will put on the prayer list. They had a family that had their dad pass away just this morning. And so we'll put them on our prayer list. Don't get me to say their name. I can't begin to do that. But we'll pray for the Burmese family. No one who studies the life of the Apostle Paul can ever wonder what made him serve the Lord tirelessly and selfishly. Paul here gives us the answer to the question of how did he serve the Lord? How was he able to serve the Lord tirelessly? How was he able to go through all the suffering and all the turmoil of life and continue to be steadfast in his service unto the Lord? Well, in this first part, it says, for the love of Christ does what? Compels us. So what Paul understands, what was his motivation, was the love of Christ. And see, as we look around ourselves and as we look within ourselves, we should see the love of Christ. Where we're at today, we should see that it was only by the love, the grace, the mercy of Jesus Christ that we are in the predicament, in the situation, in the life that we're living right now, only because of his love for us. Nothing more. Nothing that we have done. Especially me, I have been good enough at all. I don't deserve his love. But he loves me, and he loves you anyway. And because he loves us, just like Paul can look back over his life and he can see how he persecuted the church, how he was a man that put people in prison because he of their faith in Jesus Christ. But on the Damascus Road, as we read in the 9th chapter of Acts, on the Damascus Road, he met with the risen Savior. And I'm here to tell you that if a person has a genuine experience with Christ, then your life ought to be changed. Not just different, but your life ought to be changed. And in a changed life, when somebody has done for you for what Christ has done for you, which none of us have, but Christ has done so much for you to change your life, to change my life, then the love that he showed ought to compel us into service. Paul is not talking about our love for Christ, but his love for us. The only reason we know how to love is because he first loved us. You see? When I was out doing my thing, I didn't know how to love. I didn't know what love really meant. But when I came to Christ and saw all that Christ had done for me, then I know what true love really was all about. That's why now I can love my wife in the right way. That's why now I can love my children in the right way. That's now I can love you in the right way. Why? Because Christ has shown me the love that I need to have within me. And that is the same love that he showed toward me. So I can judge nobody. I can sit and look at anybody and say, ooh, look at this person, or look at that person, look what they look like, look what they're doing. I can't do that, because just think about if Christ had done that to you or to me, where would I be right now? Where would you be right now? So when Paul says that the love of Christ compels us, he's talking about the love that Christ has shown to us first. In 1 John 4 and 9 and 10, it reads, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that he sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. You hear that? That we might live through him. We might have life through him. Verse 10 says, in this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation means the appeasement or the satisfier of God's wrath. You see, when we were in our sins, then Christ had to come and satisfy God's wrath, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is what? Death. So God's wrath was upon us, and we were going to receive the wages to our sin. But Christ came, hallelujah, and died for my sin. Now, you need to make this personal. I can't speak for you. I can give you this sermon and talk to you and all of that, but you need to know in your heart of hearts that it is Christ that came. It is Christ that sacrificed himself. It is Christ that died for who? For me. Thank you. For me. I can say that for me. Can you? For me. I believe that every Christian ought to have a testimony that speaks of how the love of Christ was poured out into their life. That life that lifted them, that love that lifted them from the state of death to the state of life. Did you hear that? See, because I was running around in a dead man suit. If you could put it like that, You know, I was like a zombie walking around, you know, thinking that I was still alive. When all in all actuality, I was not alive. I was headed to death. I was dead in sins and trespasses. I was dead in my view of society, my view of God, my view of the world. I was dead. I was a dead man walking. But when Christ's love fell upon me and I accepted him as my personal savior, I began, then he breathed into me the breath of life, that spiritual life, that whereby I can live now eternally. The spiritual life. He brought me out of darkness. He brought you out of darkness. And he brought you into the light. It ought to be a testimony upon our lips to be willing to tell somebody else how far Christ has picked us up from. I don't know how low you've been. I've been very low. I've been so low, I can see the worms. I was so low. But God, through the love of Christ, he picked me up. And see, that's my testimony. I don't know what yours is. I can't even begin to say your testimony. But if Christ has done anything for you, then you ought to say so. The Bible speaks of in Psalm 107, I believe in 2, that let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We ought to have a testimony. Love lifted me. When nothing else would work, it was love that lifted me. Paul says that this love that he received from Christ does something to him. It compels him. The word compel means to force. It means to force a person to do something, compelling someone to do something. In the King James Version, it uses the word constraineth. Okay? In the New American Standard Bible, it uses the word controls. All right? In other words, the love of Christ should mean so much to you that you just can't help yourself. You see? That I know people sometimes get tired of talking to me because sooner or later, I just can't help myself. You see? Sooner or later, you're going to hear something about Jesus in my life, what he's done for me, how he can help you, how he can help that person, or whatever. If you ask me the question, why I serve the way I serve, why I do what I do, is only because he first love me. It's only because he first loved me. I can't help it. You see, I have to honor Christ. I have to give him all the glory and I have to give him all the praise for my life, because I didn't have a life and now he gave me life. I didn't have a purpose and now he gave me a purpose. In 1 Corinthians, we see that we're not saved. Jesus didn't save us so that we can live to ourselves. In 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and the 20th verse, it says, "For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit," hear this, "which are God's." It's not yours. Your body and your spirit, hear this, didn't come from you. You didn't make it. You didn't save it, and you didn't give it a spirit. It's God's. So what we should do, because we were bought with a price out on Calvary, he bought the guilty of sin, hear this, and laid it on his own shoulders. And now it has been taken off of us. And we no longer have to pay the price for our sin. Why? Because he bought that price for us. He paid it for us. And we no longer have to worry about the sin debt ever again. Ain't that wonderful? Ain't that some good stuff? I'm sin free right now in Christ Jesus. Don't get that twisted now. Still have the capacity to sin. But I no longer have to pay the debt for sin. Powerful stuff if you could get it and work it into your the way that you serve the Lord. In verse 15 of 2 Corinthians 5:15, Paul says, "And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for who? Themselves. No longer live for themselves." Church, when a church stops living for themselves, then it will branch out. It will spread out. It will become more externally minded and not internally minded. When a church stops living for itself, how's that going to happen? Well, a people have to stop living for themselves. A people have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ so stern and so strict within themselves that says, I am not my own. I've been bought with a price. I am for what he has done for me. I must serve him with my mind, with my body, with all that is in me. I must not just love him and give him lip service, but I must serve him and give him all that I can give him. That's what we must say. But for him who died for them and rose again, Christ died for all. But the question is, why did he die for all? Well, the answer is this: to save us all from our sins. Am I correct? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. We're saved, but some, you know what the problem with that is? The problem with that is a lot of people know that they're saved and they're happy with that fact. And that's it. Do you hear that? I'm saved. We have sometimes Christians have a mentality of saying that I'm saved, I got mine, you get yours. And that's it. And we fall into what Satan says is those that will cry out, Lord, Lord, and Jesus will say, I never knew you. We fall into that category. What am I talking about? I'm talking about those that was in the church that gives God lip service, but no arm service, that don't become the hands of God, that don't become the feet of God, that don't become the mouthpiece of God. But sit and give good lip service, but never extend themselves to completely give their lives over to Christ. What do I mean when I say completely? Well, if Christ tells me to go over there, then I'm going to go over there. If Christ tells me to go stand in that football field and begin to preach the gospel with nobody in it, then guess what I ought to do? Go stand in the middle of that football field. Well, Reverend Stephen, he over there, he must be off his rocker. He must be drunk or something because he's standing in the middle of the football field just preaching. Preaching to who? I don't know who he's preaching to. Make any sense? No, of course it ain't supposed to make no sense. We're following God. Whatever he says, that's what we should be able to do. That's what we should have in our mind to do. We should have in our minds before he even asks the question to say, yes, Lord. Now, what's the question? Why? Because I no longer live for myself. Because you no longer live for yourself. You know what the problem is? We're afraid what people are going to think. We're afraid that people are going to say, look, that Reverend Stevens, he over there, and that Reverend Stevens is going crazy. Yes, I'm crazy. I'm one of God's foolish things. One of God's foolish things. Why? He used the foolish things to do what? To confound the wise. When I think about, I want us to think about this. Romans 5, 6 and 8, 6 through 8. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. My favorite verse, but God, you see. But God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And see, we can turn that and make it personal. And when I'm thinking about it for myself, I turn it and make it personal. But God demonstrated his love toward me in that while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. And when I think about the goodness of Jesus, and when I think about all that he has done and all that he has brought me through in this life, I can only think that, you know what? I owe him something. I owe him something. But the question comes up, what can you give to someone that has everything? That has everything. I think about my mom at Christmas time. She gets everything all year long. So what do you get her at Christmas? I don't know. I just give her a little money. Here you go, Mom. I can't pay Christ for what he has done. I can't. There's not a dollar amount that would be suffice for me to be able to pay for what he has done. And so what is Christ actually looking for then? If we can't pay him, and if there's not a dollar amount, or he owns anything, everything anyway, what can I give him? Myself. You can give yourself. See, just like he laid himself down on the altar of the cross just for you, then he expects us to be able to come to the cross ourselves and prostrate ourselves before the cross of Jesus Christ. And then guess what? And say, I give you my all. I give you my life. I give you everything that is me. Take it, God, because it's yours anyway. Use me the way that you want to be used. And then live a life that says, yes, Lord. Now, what's the question? So today, as we leave this place, I want you to leave with a sense to say that, a mind to say that, I owe him my all. Not just my money, not just giving to the church, not just speaking every now and then about him, but that my very breath would be to his glory. I owe him. I owe him everything. I owe him my all. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we do say thank you for this hour. Thank you for this time. God, I ask that you would please go with us and stand by us. Help us to release ourselves, God, over to your authority in all ways, that you might be glorified. You might get the glory for our living. In Christ Jesus' name. Amen. I also ask that